We're now turning in the Lord's Word to the Gospel of Mark, and once again to the 14th chapter. And those few verses from this chapter which we read together. Now, with God's Word open before us, let us again unite our hearts in prayer. Let us each one seek the Lord. Our dear Father and most gracious, loving God, we bow once again before Thee in prayer. We know, Lord, that prayer glorifies Thee. For, Lord, it demonstrates our dependence upon Thee. Lord, Thou knowest how dependent we are upon Thee even now, as we come, Lord, to minister the Word, as we come, Lord, to hear the Word. We pray that we might know much of the help of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. Grant, Lord, that today we'll know His leading as He leads us and guides us into all truth. Grant us now, Lord, the power of the Holy Spirit. We might enable, Lord, to preach the Word. And in preaching the Word, we might preach Christ and Him crucified. For we ask all these things in the Savior's name. And always for the Savior's glory and praise. Amen. Mark chapter 14, verses 50, 51, and 52. A little incident here that is recorded by Mark only. It's not found in any of the other Gospels. Verse 50 reads, "And they," that is the disciples, "all forsook him and fled. And there followed him a certain young man, having a linen cloth cast about his naked body. And the young man laid hold on him. And he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked." There are many individuals that we meet with in the Gospels whose identities, names, are kept from us. They're often referred to as the unnamed servants of the Lord. Individuals who did a great work for the Lord, but their names are kept secret. Individuals like the owner of the two beasts of burden that the Lord Jesus borrowed and rode upon in triumph into Jerusalem. We don't know the name of the man who owned those animals. Or the man who let Christ use his upper room, that upper room that was furnished, that upper room in his own house. He gave it to the Lord Jesus that he might use it and celebrate the Passover with his disciples. Again, we don't know that man's name. Or the woman who came to the house of Simon the Pharisee, where the Lord Jesus was sitting at meat. This city woman came and stood behind the Savior weeping. And her tears flowed so profusely that she was able to wash the Savior's feet and then anoint them with ointment. Once more, who this woman was, we do not know. We will know, of course, when we get to glory. We'll meet with these individuals then. Likewise, we have before us in this passage of Scripture one who's just called a young man. A young man who followed the Lord Jesus Christ. This is all we know about him. Two verses in all of God's Word, and we're not even given his name. Now, of course, when you read the commentators and the Bible scholars, there's no shortage of suggestions as to the identity of this individual. And for me, it's all vain speculation, because there is absolutely no clue as to the identity of the individual. And if the Spirit of God is not this identity, then the Lord obviously didn't want us to know who it was. There are those who say it was one of the disciples. There are those who say it was the owner of the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, I've read all these suggestions, and perhaps the one that comes nearest to the mark is Mark himself. That indeed this young man was Mark, the writer of the Gospel. As we know in reading the Gospels, when the evangelists spoke about themselves or referred to themselves, they never mentioned their own name. John, of course, is one in point, who always referred to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. And so it is possible that this certain young man was Mark the evangelist. We're not going to spend time trying to find out his identity. This incident is recorded in Scripture for a reason, obviously. There's nothing in the Bible that is there by chance. There is nothing there by accident. It is an inspired book. The Spirit of God has included these incidents. What for? For our learning. That the Lord might teach us from these incidents. So what might we learn then from this young man? There followed him a certain young man having a linen cloth about his naked body. And the young man laid hold on him, and he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. What can we learn from these two verses? Well, first of all, we see here the young man following Christ. Now, we can be sure that this young man was not one of the disciples. He was not Peter or James or John or Andrew or any of the others. We know that from the previous verse. For it says in verse 50, "And they," that is the disciples, "all forsook him and fled." And so all the disciples, every one of them, forsook him and fled. And it was just then, when the Lord was arrested and the disciples had deserted him, for that's what the word forsook means, that this young man appears upon the scene. And it says, "They all forsook him and fled, and there followed him a certain young man." Regarding his following Christ, we notice first of all his conduct. Now, we are told very little about this individual. So let us for a moment just concentrate on his person. All that we know about this person who followed Christ that night that the Savior was arrested, is that he was a certain young man. The word "young" that's used here for young is a word used to describe a young man in the prime of his life. The older men, namely the disciples, had just forsaken the Lord. They had just deserted him. They who had been with him for over 3 years. They had just deserted the Lord Jesus. And it is then that this young man appears, and we find him following Christ. I tell you, it is a great joy and a great blessing when we see young people following Jesus Christ. For we are living today in the midst of a generation that knows not God. You've only to go to the malls of our cities. You see the young people there and their behavior and how they're dressed and their attitude. Our hearts go out to them. Why? Because they don't know anything of God. Don't know anything of the gospel. Know nothing of Christ. But it is a blessing when we come across young people in the prime of their life who are found following Jesus Christ. It's refreshing, isn't it? The Apostle Paul, of course, was the spiritual father of Timothy. And in writing to Timothy, Paul made reference to how Timothy was brought up. 2 Timothy 3 verse 15, Paul says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." And so here is the young man, Timothy, and from a child he knew the scriptures. And then when he grew up to become a young man, what did Paul say to him? Paul said, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation and charity, in spirit and faith in purity." And it is refreshing when you meet with young people like those described by Paul. And they are indeed an example of the believer. Paul said to Timothy, "Let no man despise thy youth." The word despise there means let no man look down on you. But rather be thou an example. Rather than people looking down on you, live a life so that they will look up to you. That you will become an example of what a believer ought to be. How easy it is for young people to waste the best days of their life pursuing things which are count for very little in the light of eternity. There are many young people here this morning. Could I urge you, if you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, follow on to know Him. Give your life to Him. Give your heart to Him. Give your all to Him. Give Christ the best days of your life. Don't give Him the dregs of your life. Don't give Him just the last days of your life. Give Him the best days. Give Him the best days. I was saved when I was 22 or 23. Called into the ministry a year later. You have often thought, "I wish I was back again there. I wish I had my life to live all over again. I wish I had another opportunity to serve the Lord." Because you look back on your life and you know there are things you would have done differently. Certainly would have given the Lord more. Young people, give the Lord your all. Be a true follower of the Lord Jesus. and give them the best years of your life. You know how Solomon, over in the book of Ecclesiastes, we're all familiar with that word. Ecclesiastes, we read in chapter 12, verse 1, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." Why? Don't forget God in the days of your youth. "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." What's Solomon saying? Solomon's saying just what we have said. Give the Lord the best days of your life, because the years will pass by. Solomon calls them the evil days will come, and the years will draw nigh. And when you're old and frail, you don't have the same strength or will to do things that you did years ago, the preacher says, do those things now when you're young. So we have considered something of this young man's person. Then notice his presence. It is probable that this certain young man came to be there out in the street following the Lord Jesus because he had been aroused from his slumbers. That's the picture you get. And there followed him a certain young man having a linen cloth cast about him. He had heard the commotion out in the street. They were leading Christ Jesus to the place of crucifixion. A mob was surrounding him. And this young man could hear the noise and the rumpus and the commotion out in the street. And he just threw this linen garment about him and ran out into the street and began to follow the Savior. It was the Lord Jesus passing by that stirred him from his slumbers and went out and followed the Lord Jesus. You know, when you think of this young man, and if that was the case, there he was slumbering in his bed of ease. Wasn't until the Lord passed by that he was stirred up and went out and followed the Lord Jesus. You know, sometimes we're all like that young man. We all slumber on a bed of ease. We have all experienced that spiritual slumber. That state of spiritual slumber. Like the bride in the Song of Solomon, when she said there in chapter 5 and verse 2, "I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved." She's sleeping, but it was Christ who stirred her up. The voice of her beloved. You know, it is a terrible thing to be in a state of spiritual slumber. What does it mean to be in a state of spiritual slumber? Oh, you're saved, all right. But you're slumbering. To be in a state of spiritual slumber, there's no zeal, there's no enthusiasm for the things of God, there's no fire in the soul, no activity, no desire to do anything for God. We've all been there, we've all been in that bed of ease, in that state of slumber. Such was the state of this young man. But what was it stirred him from his slumbers? It was the fact that the Lord Jesus passed by. And where was the Lord Jesus going to? Why, he was been led out to be put to death, to suffer, to be put to an open shame. It was the Christ of Calvary that stirred this young man from his slumber. And believer, if there is anything that will stir us from our state of spiritual slumber, it is a sight of the Christ of Calvary. Like Joseph of Arimathea. Joseph of Arimathea was a disciple of the Lord, but secretly for fear of the Jews. When did he come to Christ? We don't know. But from the moment he came to the Lord Jesus and became one of his disciples, Joseph of Arimathea had kept his discipleship a secret. Didn't want anybody to know. But what was it that stirred him? It was the sight of a crucified Christ. Because Joseph of Arimathea went to Pilate and begged the body of Christ and took it down from the cross himself. Here was a man who was up until that point ashamed of the Lord. Didn't want anybody to know he was a disciple of the Lord Jesus. That is, until he saw the Christ of Calvary. And he saw the suffering Lamb. And he realized, how can I keep this a secret? Look at what Christ has done for me. And the one who was so timid and afraid and scared before goes right into Pilate. The one who had just passed sentence on the Lord Jesus and begs his body. I tell you, there's nothing stirs the soul more than a view of the Lord Jesus and a view of the Christ of Calvary. We need to be stirred out of our slumbers. There's much to be done. We need to be up and following Christ. Paul says in Romans 13, verse 11, know the time. See what he says? Know the time. That now it is high time to awake out of sleep. You go into the room and you call your son or daughter for school. You go downstairs and get the breakfast ready and you look at your watch. They're not up yet. Back up the stairs and you look into the room and what do you say to them? Do you know what time it is? You should be up. Do you know what time it is? And believer, do you know what time it is? Your life is almost spent. What have we done for the Lord? It's high time to awake. But then we notice not only his conduct but his courage. I don't think any of us can fail to miss the courage displayed by this young man. And they all forsook him and fled. All the disciples. All those that said they would never leave him. Peter said, Lord, if thou hast to go to death, I'll be there beside you. And they all agreed. They would all go through with God. Once he was arrested, they all forsook him and fled. Every follower of Christ left him except one. This young man. This young man has displayed great courage. He was out there following Christ at a time when all the Lord's disciples had deserted him. Oh, it's easy. It's easy to be bold for the Lord and take your stand for the Lord when the majority of those around you are saying, it's Christ for me, Christ for me. far different thing, different matter altogether when you're in the company of those who would be chanting, "Away with him, away with him." Different thing taking your stand for the Lord then. Needs courage. Needs to be brave. Need to stand up for Jesus and be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I am reminded of King David. At a time when David's fortunes were very low. Seemed as though the whole nation had turned against David. But then we find that one man came upon the scene, Ittai the Gittite. And he came and he threw in his lot with David. Even though the nation was against David, Ittai said to David, "I'm with you." It took courage. David encouraged him and said, "You'd be as well going back home. I don't have very many men with me. Everybody's against me. You'd be as well going home." This is how Ittai answered David. "As the Lord liveth, and as my Lord the King liveth, surely in what place my Lord the King shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be." That ended the argument. He fell in behind David, became one of his mighty fighting men, and he did so at a time when the nation turned against David. I tell you, believer, we need to stand for the Lord. When the banner of the cross is battered, is torn, and blood stained, and when everyone seems to be against our King, let us stand up for the Lord, nail our colors to the mast, and tell the world, "I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm a follower of the Lamb." The Lord will give you courage. They'll give you grace. Think of the courage and the grace that the reformers experienced and the martyrs. Of all the martyrs that I enjoy reading about, I love to read about Holy John Bradford, just a young man in his mid-30s. And how that young man took a stand for the Lord, was burned at the stake. Oh, given every opportunity to recant, but he refused to do so. And while the flames engulfed him, he was able to cry out, "Christ for me. Christ for me." The Lord gives the grace the time it's needed. Then you notice his clothing. We're told that he went out to follow Christ, having a linen cloth cast about his naked body. Now you get the picture again of this young man who's been aroused out of his sleep. And all he has done was to cast his linen cloth about him, and he went out into the street and followed the Lord Jesus. He wasn't really properly attired. He wasn't properly clothed. He just had this linen cloth cast about his body. And he's going to follow the Lord. He was following the Lord. Indeed, the tense of the word indicates that he didn't just start following the Lord there and then. But he was hardly properly attired to be a follower of the Lord Jesus. This young man soon discovered that in following the Lord Jesus, he would have to face hostility and persecution and hardship. And he needed a different type of garment. He needed to be properly attired. And you know, believer, to be a follower of the Lamb in this wicked and perverse world, we're going to face persecution and hardship and hatred from the world. We need to be properly attired. Paul tells us that attire that we should have on. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God. That's what we need to be attired with. The whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's what we need. No point having spiritual garments like that garment that the young man wore, not stand the test. But the Christian's armor will stand the test. That's how we need to be attired. And the Apostle Paul again makes reference to other items in our wardrobe, if you like, when he wrote to the believers at Colossae, verse 12, put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. Put on charity. These things were to put on like a garment. This is the wardrobe of the Christian. And I tell you, believer, you put on these things that Paul has told us about, it'll see us through many a battle. See us through many a hardship. Young man following Christ. Then you have the young man and the foes of Christ. No sooner had this young man been stirred from his slumbers and went out to follow the Lord Jesus, and the enemy set upon him, verse 51, and there followed him a certain young man, having a linen cloth cast about his naked body, and the young man laid hold on him. He's no sooner appeared on the street. He has no sooner made it known that he's a follower of the Lord Jesus than the foe came along and laid hold on him. No sooner was he on the street than he felt this attack. You know, believer, the devil never changes his tactics. He behaves the same, always the same in this spiritual warfare. For you see, while you slumber, in that state of spiritual slumber, while you rest on a flowery bed of ease, the devil will not trouble you. This young man lay in his bed, and while he lay there, these foes wouldn't trouble him at all. They'd pass him by. But once he made it known he was a follower of Christ, they laid hold of him. And while we rest in a state of spiritual slumber, you can be sure of this, the devil will not bother you at all. Because you're no danger to him or his kingdom while we sleep our hours away. But my, when the Spirit of God stirs us and that fire gets kindled in our souls, and our hearts are given over to Christ, you can be sure the devil will waste no time in attempting to put the fire out. That's what he's about. And if there's anyone here and you've just received the Lord as your Savior, you're only a Christian a few days or weeks or months, don't be surprised. Don't whatever be surprised when the devil comes and attacks you. It's the old tactic. Think of the children of Israel. They come out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. They're no sinner out of Egypt. They come to the plains of Rephidim. And there they come under attack by the Amalekites. See? Same tactic again. They're just being redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And they're attacked by the enemy. Or take the young man who was born blind. Read all about him in John 9. There's more time in the Gospels given to that young man than any other character in the Gospels. The whole chapter is given to that young man. He got saved, the Lord opened his eyes, and before he knew it, the neighbors were round. Who did this? Then his neighbors took him to the Pharisees. And the Pharisees then took him to his parents and questioned him and questioned him and questioned him. Who did this? They went to the parents and said, was he really born blind? And before they finished the chapter, what have they done? They have cast him out of the synagogue. The very first day he started to follow Christ, he's cast out of the synagogue. Devil didn't waste much time, did he? Devil doesn't waste much time when it comes to following Christ. Wants to put out the fire. Wants us to turn to the left or to the right. Do all in his power to hinder us from being true followers of the Lord Jesus. So you have there then their arrival, they were just right on the scene once the young man appeared. Then you have their attitude. Look at verse 51. The young man laid hold on him. Look at verse 46. And they laid their hands on him. See what happened? They treated the young man exactly the same way they treated Christ. They laid hands on Christ. And then they came and they laid hands on the young man. They treated the young man the way they treated Christ. Nothing has changed again. If you're a follower of the Lord Jesus, then the world hates you every bit as much as it hates the Lord Jesus. You can see it all around you. The world hates Christ. And they have no time for those who follow Christ. The Lord Jesus himself said, Luke 21 verse 17, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, because you're a follower of mine. John 15 verse 18, if the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. 1 John 3 verse 13, marvel not my brethren if the world hate you. So not only was this young man identified with Christ by following him, he was identified with Christ because of his foes. We should count it an honor when we're persecuted by the world. Like the apostles, we're told they departed from the presence of the council rejoicing, that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Acts 5 verse 41. It's an honor to suffer shame for the cause of Christ. Then you take a closer look at his attackers. The young man's foes, we're told, were also described as young men. Same age group. Young men already sold out to the devil. Young men already hearers of the Lord Jesus. The same young man who laid hands on this young man laid hands on Christ. And there's the contrast. You have one young man following Christ, and you have a group of young men against Christ. So it is today. As we've already said, there's a generation amongst us today who know not God. Thank God for those who are found, young people, following the Lord Jesus. Dear believing young person, follow on, follow on. But where do we stand today? Do we stand with this young man who followed Christ? Or do we stand with those who were against Christ? There's only two sides, no middle ground. You're either for Christ or against Him. A group of young men were already against Him. Their lives were already ruined. Let us never be ashamed to own our Lord or to defend His cause, maintain the honor of His word, the glory of His cross. And finally, and very briefly, of the young man and his fleeing from Christ. The young man seemingly made haste to follow Christ, and with the same haste he ran away from Christ. For we are told that the young man laid hold on him, verse 52, and he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. Why? Why did he run away? First of all, because he was scared. There's no shame in being scared. We've all been scared at some time or another. Take your stand for the Lord, you'll be scared. No shame in that. But for running away, it's different. I want you to notice something here. It says that he left the linen cloth. Now there are five words in the New Testament that are translated linen, dealing with a linen cloth or linen garment. You think of the saints and glory, there are red and white linen. Well, that's a different word. There are five different words. And the word that is used here for linen is exclusively used in connection with this young man and one other person. Wherever you find this word, it's used of this young man and the linen cloth that he had cast about him and one other person. Who would that one person happen to be? We read in Matthew 27. Matthew 27. And there in verse 57. And when the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea, named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth. There it is. Same word as we have in Mark 14. And then Joseph of Arimathea took this linen cloth and he wrapped the body of Christ in it. And then along with Nicodemus, they laid that body of him who was altogether lovely, laid it in the sepulchre. That linen cloth, what does it speak to us of? It speaks to us of Christ. It speaks to us of His suffering. It speaks to us of His cross. It speaks to us of His death. Same word is used for the cloth that this young man had cast about him. But when the enemy came, he cast it off. Didn't want her to be associated anymore with the death of Christ, the sufferings of Christ, or the cross of Christ. He ran away. Didn't want to be associated anymore with the cross, sufferings, and death of the Son of God. It says that he left the linen cloth. That reminds me of the words of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 3 in verse 10 that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. The young man in the street didn't want that. He didn't want any fellowship with the sufferings of Christ. And so he cast off the robe that would be associated with that. Paul says, I want to know Christ. And to know Christ, and remember this, believer, Paul wrote those words at near the end of his life. He was imprisoned at Rome when he wrote this letter. And even at the end of his life, after planting many churches, going on many missionary journeys, leading many souls to Christ, suffering many things, Paul says, I want to know Christ. And Paul says, to know Christ, I must fellowship with him in his sufferings. I must suffer because I'm one of his followers. And be made conformable unto his death. And believer, when we are persecuted and go through hard times and fierce battles for the cause of the Lord Jesus, that's when we really get to know Christ. Brought into a closer fellowship with him. The old man didn't want that. So he cast off the garment. He was scared. And then you have a shame. For we're told that he fled from them naked. Nakedness in Scripture speaks of shame. Our first parents, when they fell, their eyes were opened and they beheld the shame of their nakedness. This young man ran away from Christ unclothed, speaking to us of his shame and the shame associated with his deserting Christ. In the American Civil War, the Battle of Gettysburg, the young Union soldier was there in the very heart of the battle. And he was scared. He was scared. And he was about to get up and run. And just as that, the sergeant came. Could see what was happening. Said to the young man. He says, young man, you're thinking about running. Think about how you'll feel in the morning. Think about how you'll feel in the morning. In other words, what he was saying, you run away now from this battle, you'll feel the shame of your desertion in the morning. Stick it out. Fight the battle. Believer, let us stick it out. Because there's blessing in store. Be a faithful follower of the Lamb. And the Lord Jesus has promised blessing. For we read in Revelation 16 and verse 15, behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments. Keepeth his garments. those garments associated with the cross and suffering and death. Keep them. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. It'll be a sorry, sorry day when, if we have deserted the cause of Christ, we see the Lord. I believe we'll weep, and those are the tears that the Lord will wipe away. We'll weep because of our shame. How could I have run away from him who died for me? When we see those nail prints in his hands and in his feet, yeah, we'll weep. Let us not run away, but let us rather follow on to know the Lord. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Eternal Father and loving God, we pray that thou would write thy word upon our hearts. And Eternal Father, give us the courage, for it must come from thee. Give us the grace, give us the backbone, give us the steadfastness to follow on in the footprints of the Savior. In spite of the foe that is all around us, in spite of the attacks of the devil, in spite of the temptations he casts in our way, Lord, may we still be found following. And when we come to the end of the journey, may we be able, Lord, to say with Paul, I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. O Lord, may we indeed finish the course. May we still be found faithful when we're ready to depart to be with Christ. Lord, bless all the young people here this morning. We thank thee for each one. Dear Lord, we pray for any who know not Christ. May they trust him while they are young, that they might give him the best years of their life. So Lord, be with us now. Bless all our visitors. We ask thee, Lord, to be with them as they go to their abode today. And Lord, return us to thy house this evening to worship, to praise, and to adore thy name. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and until the day breaks and the shadows all flee away. Amen.